right, hello again, and welcome to Comics Rule Everything Around Me, a podcast within a podcast about comics.
Okay, let's answer some questions from Twitter. At Lightning Armor asks, but it's spelled the fancy way with a U, asks, and this is like a long time listener, follower, so thank you for the question. How do you feel about, and we talked a little bit about this, but how do you feel about Superman just having the red trunks back now? To be honest, the Reborn, I think you mean Rebirth, design had grown on me, and I don't like it being just being thrown out. I actually agree.
Yeah, well, they did update it with Reborn also.
What was Reborn?
That's that story where the two Superman merged together.
Sorry.
Mr. Mixospitalic.
There's too many R-E-B words.
It's true.
Recently. Yeah, no, I was kind of digging on that when they switched him into at the start of Rebirth. That was okay. But then when they switched him into that next one, which was when they did the merging thing, I really dug that outfit. I was like, it still is missing. I wouldn't mind having.
I'm trying to remember. Is that when they did the red boots?
That's when the boots went back. All right. So the Rebirth one was all blue suit, but it was like a darker blue with the S. And then the
Jim Lee design.
Yeah. And then the boots, the belt was red, but it was like a sort of like a diamond in the center and like two things that didn't actually connect to it. And then the boots were also that dark blue, but with like a red trim at the top.
Right.
Then for the.
And then lots of just extra lines. Did he have like the outline?
No, that was on the New 52 armor.
We're talking about Rebirth.
Yeah, the Rebirth armor or the Rebirth costume was just darker blue. It was still basically.
I'm with you. Yeah.
Yeah. And it had the things at the, it had the red things at the, at his wrists. Then when they did the merging thing, then it turned into the one where it's more traditional Superman blue. The S is more back to the traditional Superman S. He's still got the like cuffs, but they're not red. It's like a different shade of blue. Mm-hmm. Then you've got the double level red belt that comes together into a yellow Superman shield shape, and then back to the red boots. Still no underwear or no trunks, but no Kryptonian overshorts, as they were called in All-Star Superman, which I love that as a thing to just make it go like, it's not weird. It's not his underwear on the outside. This is just a fashion thing from Krypton. I guess you're just not fashionable enough to get it if you think it looks weird.
Yeah.
Way to live in the past.
Yeah, I'm the man of tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how we'll be wearing them.
Well, I love that in
All-Star. Y'all are still in 2018.
I love it. Yeah. I love that there's that part in All-Star where Jimmy's walking around wearing those.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
So, yeah, I kind of did not like the Reborn design just being thrown out. It had grown on me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm happy to see the traditional Superman costume come back, but I was like, that Reborn one really, it still felt like Superman. I could handle it.
Yeah.
At insert Sydney pun says, this was talking about a thing we were talking about with Origins and stuff. She says that Kamala Khan doesn't really have a tragic backstory. She has two loving, living parents, a brother, and good in-laws. She based her whole shtick on her iconic hero.
Yeah.
And then she's like, tragic things have happened since.
Sure.
But,
sure.
You know.
But that's story. I mean, you got to have conflict to have narrative.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. She doesn't have a huge tragedy in her past.
She's a good example of someone that doesn't have a tragic thing. I don't even remember. Why were we talking about that even?
Yeah. How did we get there? Well, I think, I honestly don't. I think we talked about, obviously, Superman. Oh, that's what it was. We talked about with Rogal Zar.
They're trying
to make his already tragic origin more tragic by making it instead of just a random.
I wish I'd had a bell sitting right here that could have rung every time I rolled my eyes at something we were talking about with this.
Yeah. So we talked about how it was trying to make an already tragic origin even more tragic, and then we talked about how
when
the trend,
Jeff Johns
yeah went did back it to Green to Flash and to Green Lantern. And then we kind of were talking about how it's almost like Marvelizing him because so many Marvel characters do, but DC wasn't always that way. Of course, Batman, but they weren't all.
He was like the exception to the rule more.
And now they're trying to give them all those tragic backstories.
Oof.
But no, that's a great example, Kamala Khan. And I'm sure there's more too. Just I was thinking like Stan Lee creations. it did seem like there's a lot of those back to back to back of just real tragic.
Yeah. At Fizz versus the World asks, would Bendis's Man of Steel be more tolerable if it were less decompressed? Yes.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. It wouldn't be so excruciating if it's shorter.
Yeah.
One big oversized issue or
one of these 100 page giants.
Yeah.
Like one could find at Walmart now.
Right. Yeah. If they did it like Countdown to Infinite Crisis and you got 80 pages for a dollar, you know, something like that.
Yeah. No, they want that money.
Yeah.
This was like a cash scam.
Well, they got it.
They got it.
$4, 24 American.
Are you going to buy the trade?
That's a no.
Yeah. That's going to be a hard pass on that one.
They didn't even, oh my goodness. They included the digital code with the first issue, but only the first issue. I'm not going to buy the digital copies of 2 through 6.
Well, I'm the dummy that bought the digital copy of the first issue to start with. And then you told me, because I was just like in such a hurry to read it.
Right.
And then you were like, oh, if you buy the regular one, it's got the code. And I was like, oh.
But only the first issue. Yeah, it seems like that's what DC is doing now. The first issue of Justice League, the first issue of Superman. But then I think it's just the first issues
what
of stuff.
What a jerk move. Mad at you now, DC. Mad at you for letting this happen. Yeah, I think it would definitely be more tolerable if it was not so stretched out.
Yeah.
Needlessly stretched out. Okay, this is not this. He says this, or he or she, I don't know. Tab Mach 99 says, not really a question, but it just came to light that Snyder never saw the final cut of Justice League. I found this interesting. So I assume he is talking about Zack Snyder and not Scott Snyder. Yeah.
I mean, he may not have seen it either.
I bet he did. and then he includes a link that says to an article from 12 hours ago on Collider that says WB Warner Brothers. For those of you who aren't in the who aren't in the biz, what am I doing? WB won't release a Snyder cut of Justice League. Zack Snyder never saw the film. Wow.
I'm of the opinion, I don't think a Snyder cut exists. I don't think that's a thing. Unless you want to like do the thing that sometimes you'll get on like DVD specials where you can add in like storyboard and stuff. As far as like a completed, ready to watch movie,
Absolutely not. And there's no way, like all of the stuff that is like the stuff that we've heard about that was stuff he wanted to do or mm-hmm. part of his plans. Or stuff that would require them sinking so much more money into finishing those things.
They're not going
to like
that.
Try. Yeah, yeah. They're like, no, we're done with this DVDs. Nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't, unfortunately, you know, I guess for the fans that really want that, unfortunately, I don't think that's something that really exists unless you're okay with something that is going to be cut up pretty bad and you can have some sections that are just storyboard and
or sections and with no special effects.
Yeah.
Or but, like text pieces where it's like, right here is where we were going to show.
Yeah. But that's what it would have to be.
Yeah. That's what it would have to be.
And as far as him not watching the theatrical version, I mean, it would be so hard to separate that major life tragedy with the movie. I could get not wanting to watch it for a long time.
Also, getting fired off the movie would make me kind of go like, why would I bother going to see this? Yeah. I don't care.
Well, he voluntarily stepped away, right? Because he that's had the, a like, child.
But that happened. So it was basically like the sort of, and this is all sort of rumors and conjecture, but supposedly he was already, they were trying to get rid of him
anyway
before that happened.
Okay. My understanding was, yeah, he had the family tragedy and he just said, hey, family first, I'm stepping away.
Yeah, but he kept working. Well, you know, supposedly they said that his press release or whatever saying that like he thought that staying and working because he was still working on the movie like
even after that
for like a month or something, a month or two after that happened because he thought it would be good to just focus on something else. Hmm. But supposedly then like he had already actually been fired before that even happened and they had already like Joss Whedon was already working on it before that happened.
What a mess.
Yeah. What a mess indeed. See, this is what happens when you don't have someone who knows what they're doing at the top.
Yeah.
To like,
when you don't have Kevin Feige.
Yeah. When you don't have someone like that. And the thing that is a bummer is it seemed like they were trying to put Geoff Johns into that kind of role. And I think that he maybe could have done that, but it's like when you're getting undercut or fought with or, you know, at every step. And it's like, when every time, if something doesn't go exactly right, they're like, all right, we've got to rethink all of this. Like if the reaction to
something,
work
with that, yeah.
Yeah, you can't accomplish anything when you're like constantly.
Makes me feel bad for, yeah. I mean, for so many people, yeah. But Geoff Johns. Yeah.
I don't like Zack Snyder's movies, but I still feel bad for him as a person.
Sure.
Like he's still a person with feelings and a family and a life. And it's like, I never ever would wish. No matter how much I dislike his movies, I would never with anyone, even yeah. if I like, I just do not understand the mindset of people where they're like, you were in a movie I didn't like. So now I'm going to attack you as a person on the internet. Like I'm going to harass you on your Instagram
right.
because you made a movie I don't like. And it's like, no one made you see that movie.
I guess going back to the question, I can totally understand. Yeah, well, I can totally understand why he wouldn't want to watch it.
Yeah, I don't.
Is a Snyder cut, I don't think it's going to be what fans think it's going to be or want it.
But it seems like the people who want the Snyder cut are people who liked his other movies. So maybe they would be like, "Oh, this is so much better."
Maybe,
but
I'm trying to remember. My brain is working really hard to think of a really specific example of there was a DVD release of something that did something similar to this, but it was so choppy and not at all worth it. I'm blank. I can't think of what it is. I'll think of it way after we're done recording. But yeah, it's not going to be good.
Yeah, no, I don't think that. I mean, it could be interesting, like as an artifact,
right?
Like way down the line, you know, something like. So, do you remember? This has been quite a few years now. This might even be like 10 years maybe, oof, or longer. Oh boy, I don't want to think about it. When they finally released that Richard Donner cut of Superman 2.
Yeah.
But and that's a thing where it's like they had to fix it in with like test footage.
Right.
And like stuff where it's like this is not completely finished.
Not perfect.
We did the best we could. And they added in some new special, but they did spend some money on it. But that came out like 20 years after the fact, where it's more like a historical, interesting historical relic.
Yeah.
Now DC wants they're trying to get as far away from that as they can and still keep the DC universe going.
I'm trying to remember what movie it was. So
they want people to stop thinking and talking about it. So it's like, there's no way they're going to release that.
They're not gonna, like you said, they're not going to sink the money into it, but there was a while, like as a DVD special feature, Blu-ray special feature, you could reinsert deleted scenes in whatever. I want to say X-Men did this. They did like an X-Men 1.5.
Yes, X-Men 1.5.
And you can watch it that way, but
it's a mess.
It was choppy and gross.
Yeah, there's also, they did Spider-Man 2.1.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of those X-Men and Spider-Man movies where, yeah, you could watch it, but that's what a Snyder cut, I think, would feel like.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, we're going to transition to it's just storyboards and people talking about it or a really bad animatics.
Anyway. Or like something where it's like the film quality is like suddenly like way worse.
And if you're a Snyder fan, I think what you're a fan of is that
his beautiful visual style. Yeah. He's like an incredible, his visuals are like where he really excels. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's what you would be taking away from that.
Right,
he's not like a gifted story man. If anything, the stories are like the weakest part, especially of how he approaches Batman and Superman. Like, we talked about this and it's like, it doesn't feel like he cares much for Superman, but it also, it doesn't seem like he likes Batman that much other than that he likes that Batman does CrossFit or whatever, you know, like,
yeah.
So anyway, let's get away from that nightmare. And, Sydney's got another question. I have a list, pick your fave. Oh, so this is a list of questions. I'm going to read all of them and then.
Sure.
Superman is hunky, but Clark Kent isn't. What synonym for handsome would you use to describe Clark? If our political system is run by Lex Luthor...
This is a separate question?
Yeah, this is... question. That was question one. Sorry. That was question one. Question two. If our political system is run by Lex Luthor as the Joker, why are neither Batman nor Superman real? What? Our political system is run by... So I think this is talking about Trump being like... Lex. He's like... Lex Luthor as the Joker. Like, imagine a rich guy, but who is insane.
Lex Luthor's incredibly intelligent.
Yeah, but he's more... I think this is more going with, like, the rich businessman angle.
Okay.
And then, why are neither Batman nor Superman real? I think we can change this a little bit to be, like, if the world is run is so crazy right now that we could really use some real those heroes, kind of those kind of like,
oh, it's like, okay, if our, the villains can be real, why
if,
can't the
if
heroes
the villains
be real?
Are so over the top, okay. If there's yeah. villains that are real and they're like cartoonishly super villainy with some of this stuff, you know, it's like, this is some real super villain type stuff you're yeah. saying. Like, why can't Superman? Well, I guess maybe.
I mean, you can go real deep with that to the point of that's why these heroes were created. I mean, we invented Captain America, so we have someone punch Adolf Hitler.
Yeah, yeah. This would be a fun one to joke around with, but I mean, I think you're right. It's like when these heroes don't exist, we have to create them. And that's kind of what we should be doing right now. And some of us and people are kind of trying to, but it's yeah. like, it's not just with comics, and some of it is people trying to just do things, just trying to tell brave stories mm-hmm. that are inspirational, not necessarily in superhero ways, but it's like even just trying to show, man, you know, like with the blowback from idiots on this She-Ra reboot, you know, like, have you seen any of that?
Yeah. I mean, that stuff makes me so sick. I don't do, I see just enough to, okay, I got the gist of it.
I'm checking out of this.
Yeah.
I think I'm way looking forward to that cartoon. I'm excited that it's going to be a Netflix show, and that like the way that Netflix has done Voltron really makes me have high hopes for this one as well. But it's the kind of thing where it's like someone is working hard and to go, here's a brave hero that is not, you know, that's showing stuff for other people. It's the same deal with like Steven Universe and all of these shows that are trying to be more, trying to show more diversity or more, be more inclusive, or like, not just be more inclusive, but definitely be not be exclusive. Like, man, there's this new cartoon on Cartoon Network called Craig of the Creek.
No, I've not heard of it.
And it's one, it's like just adorable. Like the design style on it is like just wonderful. And it's about the main character, Craig of the Creek, he's like a little African-American kid. And the story's about him and his friends, and they hang out in this woods near their house, and there's like all this cool stuff. It's kind of like, did you ever see Kids Next Door?
Yeah.
How there's sort of like all this stuff going on that's like, but then he also goes home and has kind of like a normal family, mm-hmm. and it's like a loving family, and just getting to see his dad's like into doing whatever. And you get to see that stuff. Then you also have like the fantastical stuff when he's out with his friends. But just seeing that feels like, there's going to be little kids that see that and are like yeah. so inspired and like just excited to see themselves on TV. And like with all of those things, it's like,
you know, Marvel's got animated project coming out, Marvel Rising. That's going to be a series of shorts and then an animated TV movie that features a lot of their characters that a lot of new creations from the last few years, you know, female characters, you know,
Miss Marvel, Squirrel Girl.
And I'm super pumped for that. You know, my kids in particular really like Squirrel Girl, Spider-Gwen, which they're calling her Ghost Spider, but that makes sense. I mean, you wouldn't be Spider-Chris if you were or Spider-Matt. Like, you would have another.
What's her actual code name is?
In the comics, it's Spider-Woman, but I get that there's already 80 Spider-Women. Yeah. So she's going to be Ghost Spider in this cartoon.
Okay.
And I think I can see them maybe moving that way for her name.
I don't think that's a particularly strong name, but
Miss yeah, well, I don't know. and Miss Marvel's in it, which yeah, my,
she's not a ghost, is she?
Well,
oh,
no, she's not a ghost, and she's not a spider.
She's got spider powers, right?
She doesn't really have ghost powers.
I don't know Spider-Gwen's whole thing. I'm just like
same for Miles on action figures and stuff. He's Kid Arachnid instead of, because we can't handle the idea of there being another person named Spider-Man. Anyway, I'm excited this stuff exists.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess the stuff that I saw with She-Ra is people didn't like how she was drawn, and I'm like, come on, y'all don't pretend you were sitting around waiting for there to be a She-Ra cartoon, and now you're like, because you weren't, yeah. you weren't even thinking about She-Ra. You're just mad at an art style that doesn't fit into.
But also, she's supposed to be like a teenage girl. And it's like teenage girls are. You know, she was more grown up in the old cartoon, but it's like teenage girls are not like they don't have all those like those secondary characteristics that come with when you get older.
Right.
She shouldn't look like a grown woman. She should look like a tough warrior, 14-year-old or whatever, however old she's supposed to be. But I mean, you see the stuff with her and they're like, oh, they just made her look like a little boy. And it's like, well, teenage girls kind of do look like boys sometimes, you know? And it's like, but also like when you see her, and for people who are like, oh, she doesn't look girly enough. She, when she's not She-Ra, when she's just Adora, you know, she's got the traditional sort of like a take on the traditional, like Adora costume. So it's like pink and stuff. And she looks more girly. And like, then she turns into this like badass that can fight these bad guys and stuff. And it's like,
it seems like the same group of people that didn't like how, Erica Henderson drew Squirrel Girl, which like was such a fun, refreshing take that comics needed so badly.
If you're one of these people and you're listening to this, just go ahead and take off. It's fine. Like I don't even want to get into a whole thing of like what be better. Just don't. Okay. You don't.
Not everything has to be for you.
You don't have to take off, but it's like, yeah, this doesn't have to be for you. And it's like, when you're saying that something like this ruins your childhood because they're changing it now, well, you already had a childhood and now this is for someone else's childhood. And you know, it sucks that it's not that maybe it makes you feel. I think that really what it comes down to with all these people when they complain about this stuff is what they don't want to face and what is harder for them to deal with. And it's easier to just complain about some cartoon is that they're having to try to come to term. It's forcing them to come to terms with the fact the world has less for you now because you're past the part where the world is just trying to make things for you.
Yeah. Especially when we're talking about
stuff for
toys
kids,
and cartoons,
stuff
and,
for children. Yeah. Shut up. It's for kids. It's not for you. If you get to, if it's good enough that you also can enjoy it as an adult, or
it's a bonus, but it's
that's
not
a
for
bonus,
you.
But it's like,
you're not the target audience.
Yeah. And honestly, same
not
with
everything
us.
Has to be
like, it's not like I think I'm any different. It's like, I try to talk about the things that I like with like Gravity Falls and stuff like that, where it's like, that is an awesome bonus that I also, that show is good enough.
Maybe the Man of Steel is just not for us.
Yeah, it's for that. Hey, no, it should. That's the thing. It should be, and it's not. That's the thing where it's
that's
like
a joke.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a funny
that but it's like with something like, you know, that I can also enjoy Gravity Falls as well as my like you know, little cousins, who are like, I say little cousins, and it's like, oh, they're like, they're growing up so quickly now, you know, or like with. When I wear like a Gravity Falls shirt or like my Dipper hat and like some little kid sees me and is like, oh, I love Gravity Falls too, or whatever, you know, it's like, that's an added bonus that show is good enough that like kids and adults can enjoy
right.
it. But ultimately it's for those little kids and they're the ones who it's important if they like it. If you're in your 40s and you are constantly complaining about how Teen Titans Go is like a travesty and ruined the old show or whatever.
Stop watching it.
Stop. Just, you don't have to.
If you're in it, if you're in a situation where someone's like holding you hostage and they're forcing you to watch this show, then I feel real bad.
Yeah.
Cause that's, no one should be held against their will with their eyes held open and having to watch a show that they don't like, but I'm going to assume that you're probably not in that situation.
Yeah. If you're tweeting about the show, about not liking the show, then what you need to do is tweet about, I need help.
Yeah,
I'm being held here.
Help me.
Help. I'm being trapped and forced to watch this show. Please help.
I don't care for the show.
But more importantly, I don't care for being trapped. Please help. Yeah. I think that's the more important thing there. So I hope that answers your question, Sydney.
What was the question?
And then Sydney's other question was, why do I love Lois Lane so much? Because
she's
great.
Awesome.
She's so great. She is so, so great. Oh my gosh, Sydney sent us more questions. All right. Well, why do people want to see Superman and Batman fight so bad? Because they're dumb. Not Superman and Batman. People that want to see them fight are dumb. I think pairing Superman and Wonder Woman romantically is regressive and unfeminist. Thoughts? I don't know. I don't think I'm qualified to speak on.
I don't know. I like him with Lois.
Yeah. Superman and Lois work. Well, and I think that's like an important, a fundamental thing about like why Superman and Lois work is because it's like she also helps to like, helps him to remember to see the side of him
sure.
that is not Superman, the part that's Clark and is, you know, has to go to work and understands what life is like for a normal person. If you have him just with someone who's also.
Yeah. So I don't have a real strong opinion about this. So when, and I didn't read the Superman Wonder Woman series at all, but when they did New 52 and Reed and Geoff Johns talking about putting them together as a couple in Justice League, it wasn't so much that, oh, wouldn't they be the perfect power couple? That has as much value on its surface as wouldn't it be cool if Batman and Superman fought. But the idea that, like, this is our, if we're going to do this, this is our chance. Like, Clark and Lois aren't together. So if we're ever going to explore these ideas of what would it be like if we pair romantically Superman with another really strong powerhouse superhero, this is our chance to tell that story if we're going to tell it. And I understood that. I didn't read the story. Other than like the glimpses we saw in Justice League, I didn't read the standalone series.
I did read that.
Was it good?
And I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It's not that the idea of the two of them together is bad.
You can explore some interesting things.
It gives you a chance to like show like some different dynamics. But also it's important to point out that the versions of them when that was going on were very different versions of the characters.
Very different.
Like New 52 Superman, who was the Superman in all of that, was not what we would call Superman.
No.
So it's like, it was a different, interesting, I don't know about it being regressive or unfeminist. I'm not, but Sydney, please, by all means, write in and expand on this. Tell us why you think that.
Because
I mean, as much as it's fun for us to sit here and like talk about our thoughts and stuff, I'd love to hear what you guys think about this stuff. And like, I love hearing other people's ideas on some of these things, right? If we can actually talk about it. It's like, that's why Twitter is so frustrating to me, because it's like it becomes just pare it down to as much of a bullet point as possible and then argue about it, and no one really or just block somebody. But it's like, when we can have like an actual conversation about this stuff, it's interesting to have your mind, like hearing other people's opinions on things can open your mind to stuff, can broaden your horizons. And I'm sure all of you know this, but I don't think I'm telling you anything new, but you know, it doesn't hurt to remind ourselves of some of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And when we're talking about, especially when we're talking about these fun things, and the honest, you know, ultimately there's no consequences to this.
Right.
It's not like we're not arguing about politics or something. This is just something that's fun about stuff that we like. And that's kind of the point of the whole reason I do these shows, is so we can talk about the stuff that we love and why it matters to us. And why these things, when it's something we love and it doesn't work out like we want it to, or it doesn't, why it upsets us.
Sure.
So Sydney, I would love to hear why you.
Yeah. Explain what you mean.
Explain it to
it. I'm not exactly sure what the angle, like what about it? Is it regressive? Cause it's like a regular girl couldn't get Superman, or is it something about, I don't know. So explain what you mean, but just on preference side, I like him with Lois.
I would much prefer him with Lois. But I did, those books are actually, I mean, cause it was like Peter Tomasi and Doug Monk on.
Yeah. It looked good. I think I was getting too many books at the time. That was just one more I couldn't get.
Well, it was one of those things for me where I got a bunch of the trades on one of those Comixology sales. Cause like, I mean, even when it's like, even if it was like a writer and characters I don't care for at all, I love Doug Monk. And so, but especially him drawing, he does an amazing Wonder Woman, and I love his Superman.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was like, I'm down to check this out. The first like trade, maybe the first two or three, even, I don't know, were not by that team. I think the first trade was written by Charles Soule.
Okay.
Maybe. I can't remember. The ones that I, but it was not, and I think Tony Daniel was the artist on it.
Okay.
And it was like Superman and Wonder Woman fighting Zod and Feora.
Okay.
Or Zod and Ursa, maybe. I can't remember. A female Kryptonian. So they both have someone to fight.
Right.
But that was still like, it was interesting seeing them kind of getting together and how it played out, and then watching them fight and plan. There was some cool stuff in there. And then there's a part where, hey, check them out. Go to the library.
Yeah.
Or on what is it, DC Universe, on their upcoming streaming thing. And then Sydney says, who is this Daily Planet Superman upstart, Jimmy Olsen? And can he get me pictures of Spider-Man? And then I showed Matt that she put the picture of J. Jonah Jameson from the cartoon doing that. Oh, I love that. Let's see. What's this one? At Scribble Addict asks, did you ever read the Jimmy Olsen side series? And what did you think of it? I think it was from the Golden Age and it was ridiculous and silly from what I remember. I think you're talking about Superman's, the old like Silver Age series, Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen.
I did not read it.
I've read some of it. And then I especially got into it more. I mean, not that I was alive at the time, but in my comic reading, once it switches over to being part of Jack Kirby's fourth world.
Well, that was the intro to that, right?
No, that was like,
wasn't that his first title when he came?
It was. Oh yeah. It was his first issue coming into DC, but when he took it over, it was on issue like 230 or something, you know?
Right.
It had long been a wacky Superman like right. spinoff series. That's like,
that's the book he jumped to when he,
literally Jack Kirby asked DC, what's your lowest selling book? And they said, Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen. And he's like, all right, that's the first book I want. I'm going to turn it around.
Right.
And
James Robinson had some Jimmy.
He did a Jimmy Olsen like one shot that was a lot of fun. Like, I think R.B. Silva did the art on it and a ton of fun.
Yeah. That's the most.
Amanda Connor did the cover for it. It was like great Amanda cover, Amanda Connor cover with like, had Supergirl in there and like, it was a fun, like, here's why Jimmy Olsen is like a fun character. I would love for there to be a good Jimmy Olsen book now.
Sure. Now's the time.
Let me jump back to Bendis for just a second. Cause I was going, that seems like a kind of book that he could do. This is Jimmy Olsen, a guy that works in a newspaper, is a photographer. I was thinking, you know, I was slamming on Bendis's stuff, like in Avengers and in this, and like, there's been a lot of stuff, but like at the same time, you said something that made me think of this, and then I just lost it because we got to talking about other stuff. That Moon Knight series that he did with Alex Maleev, I loved. I thought it was really great, and he was Moon Knight had a personality that stayed consistent. You bought who his handle on Moon Knight, even though it wasn't necessarily consistent with other interpretations of the character. But
right.
Moon Knight doesn't have to because he's a character who's gone through a lot of personalities in story.
Right.
But it had this, the premise of it, you know, Bendis's big premise of it was that, Moon Knight becomes like the one man Avengers because he's got Spider-Man and Captain America and Wolverine's personalities also in there
in the mix.
Yeah. And so it's like, there would be a lot of scenes where you'd see him talking to the three of them or one of them. But then like, eventually you realize, oh, he's just talking to himself.
Right.
But he would like get out of situations dealing with them, how those guys would deal with stuff. And it was like a really fun.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like, it was very, and that was a book where I did not feel like, even though stuff kind of took a while, some of the things took a while to get to, I didn't feel like it was just wasting time. I didn't feel like it was needlessly decompressed. Mm-hmm. Some of it could have been told quicker, but it didn't feel like I wasn't not enjoying.
Right.
And it's not like I just like that because I don't care about Moon Knight and I love Superman so much. Moon Knight is a character I already liked. And I went into that kind of like, I'm not sure how to feel about this. And then I really enjoyed it. So I'm not just being hard on Brian Michael Bendis.
No,
like
he's got some fantastic stories. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's done some of your stuff that's like you've really loved in the past.
What? So that's not where I thought you were going with all that. I thought you were going to say, because when Bendis was making the transition, the way DC advertised it was with the Bendis is coming.
Oh, right.
And,
right.
And like, what if instead of him getting the whole Superman universe, what if they put him on the Jimmy Olsen comic?
They put him on Jimmy Olsen.
Or their lowest selling book.
Yeah.
Give me your lowest.
Yeah. Or I was going to, like, what if they just were like, okay, you do the exact same thing. Yeah. You're going to take over Jimmy Olsen and then, or start a Jimmy Olsen book. Or what if they restarted it at the numbering that it had ended at? And then they're like, and then
you've got to create a whole new universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. And you've got to do 4 books a month.
He could do that.
Yeah, but he has to also draw them.
And he couldn't do that.
Well, he's drawn stuff before.
I don't know if he could write and draw 4 a month.
Well, Jack Kirby can do it. If you want to use that same kind of big talk in your advertising.
Yeah.
So, I would be into a new Jimmy Olsen comic. I haven't read like all of it, but it's something you can track down probably. Like, you can probably get one of those showcase editions.
The black and white.
Yeah, you probably get that for it's like a ton of fun bucks. Stuff.
Yeah.
At Scribble Addict has another question of, man, this is great that we're getting like people now giving like multiple questions. Like usually it's like we get one question from each person. He asks, this is a hypothetical. What would the perfect Superman video game be? And man, you want to talk about something I have spent a lot of time thinking about over the course of my life.
Did we talk about that when we...
We talked about that on an episode that they have not heard yet.
Oh.
So this is a great question. I'm going to leave it. We're just going to leave it alone. There will be an episode, a one-off episode that will be called probably like Video Games Rule Everything Around Me, because Matt and I tried to record an episode about Superman, about Man of Steel number one, and ended up talking about video games for like an entire episode's worth. Not like directly.
So we do have thoughts about a Superman.
And we talk about it extensively, but instead of trying to condense that down, I'm just going to let you guys hear that episode. Look for that. It's like a special thing. And it'll definitely be up sooner on the Patreon. So if you want to check out patreon.com/thechrishaley, that's a good place to hear us talk about video games. At Lightning Armor asks another question. Are you in favor of the yellow shield on Superman's cape, or do you prefer a solid red design?
I don't have a preference, I don't think. I think maybe solid red if I had to pick one, but I don't care.
Well, on that note, I think that's about a good place to leave with the complete...
What's your preference?
Complete lack of preference. I think it kind of varies depending on the situation and the artist. With some stuff, I like miss it when it's not there.
What's
then,
he have now?
He should have it on there. It's definitely on there on the, on that cover that's like a take on the Death of Superman. It's definitely on there.
Yeah, I didn't know if that was just because he had it then in that era.
I think you need it for the iconography. But if you leave it off, it also doesn't bother me. Sometimes I forget to draw it on there when I'm drawing Superman.
Yeah, it is at least. What art is this? Fabok?
Yeah.
Yeah, at least. Yeah, Jason.
Yeah, Fabok, this is the old, is the classic costume in there. So he should have it on there. I'm fine with it. But also, if they don't have it on there, it's not the part I get upset about.
Then it's not there.
They could maybe say it's like
in the folds.
In the folds, but it's probably just they forgot. Anyway. Okay. All right. Well, this has been a lot of fun. We've gone way long, but that's okay because we had a lot to cover. But I'm proud of us we got to a lot of Twitter questions this time.
Hey, we said we were going to review The Man of Steel.
And we did it.
And we did it.
We did it. No one can ever say that we didn't do it. So, Matt, tell them where they can find you.
On Twitter, at XA Matt Drain.
You know, and since we've said a lot of stuff, you know, we were pretty hard on Man of Steel. Is there any comics right now that you're really enjoying that you would recommend?
Yes. You want to
pick? Well, I know I kind of put you on the spot there, but I'm gonna say two real quick that feel like kind of along the same lines. Marvel's Superman's. The new Jason Aaron, Mike Del Mundo, I think that's the artist on there. Thor number one.
Okay.
Really great. I really, really enjoyed it. And I don't have to get into a whole thing with it. If you like Jason Aaron's Thor, if you've read any of that previously, I think you'll enjoy this. It's all just like a continuation of this huge story he's been telling. And the other big Marvel Superman number one that I read recently was Sentry number one. And Sentry is a character that I have enjoyed since his inception. Yeah. I liked the idea of there being this forgotten Marvel Superman. I loved the whole mystery of when they originally were putting that out, and there was like the articles in Wizard with Stan Lee acting like, oh yeah, I kind of remember that. That whole like thing they did with all of that stuff. And then especially the Age of Sentry miniseries they did that was like a throwback to the Silver Age. That is just like fantastic. If you can find that somewhere, which you probably can pretty cheap online or on Comixology or at your local comic shop, I could not recommend that enough. Mm-hmm. If you want to see a fun take on a Superman archetype done kind of differently, but the power of a million exploding suns or whatever. But that new first issue of Sentry, I really enjoyed it. The art is great.
Who's the writer?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Beans. I want to say it's Jeff Lemire.
That sounds right.
I think it's Jeff Lemire, and I think the artist is Kim Jacinto.
Okay.
I may be pronouncing that wrong. and I may have it completely. I may not. It may not even be the right names. I don't know if that's who it is or not. Yeah. But I really enjoyed the first issue, and it's a fun, like, yet another twist on the Sentry character, bringing him back and kind of. I don't know. You know, people seem to, it seems like Marvel likes to bring the Sentry back for like a big moment, and then they get bored with him really quick, sure. and have to try to kill him off or something. But I think it's a really interesting character that the people that have done good stuff with him have done really good stuff with him.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of like no one else knows what to do. But like the Paul Jenkins stuff, the Age of Sentry, which I'm pretty sure was Jeff Parker. I apologize for not being 100%. It seems like the kind of thing that Jeff Parker would be so great at. But both of those I would recommend, even though I would say maybe spend your money on those instead of Man of Steel if you have not already read Man of Steel. Well, what were you going to say?
Yeah, so I'm going to echo the Jason Aaron's Thor. I've not read the new series, but that's been a really good book. Some recent stuff I read that I really liked, Marvel's Uncanny Avengers, finished up that, and I thought that was a really strong book.
Like from back at Marvel now?
Like right before it went into the No Surrender miniseries and then the relaunch. So following Secret Empire, the team that Rogue led.
I did not even know that book was still going.
That's a good book. I would go back and reread that. Okay. And then I read the collection of one shots, the Marvel Generations, where they paired.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those, and a lot of them are pretty mediocre.
Yeah.
But
that was my memory, but
two of them were so good. One of them I messaged you about because Tom Taylor's Wolverine, Generations Wolverine. If you've not read that one, that is amazing. And
is it on Marvel Unlimited now?
It's on Marvel Unlimited. It's a complete standalone, so you don't need to know anything else.
As we always do, we will recommend Marvel Unlimited as an app goodness. And a service that if you want to just have such a $10 a month for such an... Oh, actually, I think they've got a thing going right now.
They do sales, all the time.
Well, I think they've got a thing going right now where like your first... couple months are like only 2 cents. Wow. There's like an Ant-Man
I pay
promotion.
For it annually, and I think it's only like if you do it that way, just $65 a year, something like that.
Yeah, and so it's less than the I pay.
Tom Taylor's generation, it's called Generations : Wolverine and All New Wolverine. It sends All New Wolverine back.
Sends Laura
back, and it is just great. The Hawkeye one written by Kelly Thompson was also really, really good. Those are two ones.
The ones I remember, I read the Hulk one and it was okay. I read the Thor one, which I had amazing art.
But it was,
And the story was like kind of okay.
It was okay, right.
But I left that one going like, I enjoyed it.
It's pretty good.
But some of the others just did not even look interesting enough to me to check out. But now I'll definitely, especially knowing that it's on Unlimited, I'll check out that Wolverine.
Check out the Wolverine.
Tom Taylor is like a writer who...
I want to read more Tom Taylor.
When he's on, he seems to be really on, and like he doesn't... like the issues of All New Wolverine that he wrote, that he was writing, that I read, which I didn't get to read a bunch of them, but I did the ones that I did read... I was like, this is good.
Well, I left this issue definitely wanted to go read his issues of All New Wolverine, which I've not read, and anything else.
I know he's done other stuff, and I've heard people like randomly say like, oh, this thing he wrote was really good.
Yeah.
But I haven't read like a ton of his stuff, but he's someone who I am interested in seeing more, like checking out more of his stuff, and then two, seeing where his career goes.
Yeah. Did I say Tom King's Batman?
No, but
I've been liking that.
Tom King is like an
and Miracle. Yeah
Tom
Miracle.
King is like an automatic.
Yeah.
I think we've made it very clear we love Tom King's stuff. And I think even his stuff that's like, you know, everybody's hit or miss, but even his stuff that are misses, there's still stuff in there where I'm like, there's a lot of thought and love put into this. So that's all that stuff. Like I said, you can follow me on Twitter at @TheChrisHaley. Follow the show at KICTM Podcast. Thank you so much to everyone that does follow the show on Twitter and retweets when we talk about new episodes, or that sends us questions when we ask for questions. Thank you so much. Patreon.com/TheChrisHaley. All the show notes are on keepitclosetome.com. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening. This has been wonderful. We'll see you next time talking more about Superman probably and other stuff. Maybe by then we'll have more stuff to talk about besides just Superman.
Or maybe what if send in some prompts of...
Yeah, if there's stuff you want us to check out, there's like new stuff or old stuff that we need to get into, by all means, send that in. You can tweet it at the show, or... email address again is keepitclosetomepodcast@gmail.com. Put like comic recs or something in there in the title so we'll know what it's about. And I guess I will just leave you with this. the sound of me going over to the computer and trying to turn the thing off.